Friends, I'm turning this morning to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 8 to 11. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Friends, we are going to dwell on verse 10. That and they know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And our title this morning is, What Drives Your Life? What Drives Your Life? Please, can you read the verse 10 for me?
Ever so long, my team, me and Sam, they do not say, Namah, then they sorry you to me, Namah, you know, Papa, for. Now, my master, you will say, yeah, my turn before I'm sorry.
I'm afraid, Sam's mission, now, you're big now, and you can't, yes, sir. Now, I did a little bit of a moon back, who finally said, again, now, a kuta or bravo. A damn power in the future of what drives your life. Now, talking me up, Paul, a chocoma, Philippi, a Yasibia, a Munye, this will be a dinner home. If we are with you, a damn power and a Kutawa Bravo, and especially for the young people, you must know what drives your purpose, your life. And what is your purpose? Is the purpose that will drive your life. Some time ago, there was a book written by one Mr. Warren, and it was titled The Purpose Driven Life. I don't know if any of you have seen that book before, even though I don't agree with so many things that he wrote. One thing he said, that your purpose will drive your life. What you set up to do is what will drive your life, and that's what he was driving. And that's exactly what Paul is also saying here, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable. Paul is saying this, and we know who Paul was, and who Paul is now. The Paul, I'm going to describe him, how he was, and now what he was able to achieve in this world, and in his world, and now he's saying that he counts all those things as done. Done is like rubbish, even more severe than rubbish. They count them as nothing at all as compared to knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul, our can that same way, no. Where you will be a, see a share about the more Paul, put it on a bravo tier, and near ma will see me, and yan will be a thing. I am to say, or somebody can say, Sandy Manning, or funny say, are you Phoebe, I dear Mooney Paso, rubbish. So they have to say, obey who you use. I just want to say, if we are seeing, if we are seeing one, a change that will be who he is. Some time ago, I think I said it here, that the purpose of our creation is to come and glorify God and enjoy him. Any purpose outside this will be a disaster. If you are not able to glorify God and enjoy him, no matter your achievement in this world, it is nothing. And that's what Paul is also stating here, that he may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So this letter that Paul wrote to the friends in Philippi, it was a kind of a thank you letter, because before then they had given him some gifts, and they were very nice, very kind to him. They gave him some financial gifts, and then Paul was writing, and if you look at what he wrote, it's the Holy Spirit inspired to the people. Even though he was writing to thank them, there are so many things to say here. He talked mainly about how to experience a satisfying and then a sustaining joy in this world. Sadly, say here Paul, extra comma, Philippi, Paul, not Omar and Papa, Omar and Sikania, they are Abuan. In the honor of the church, I let you know, they are the Dawamas. Now, Imuno, and now all more, I put you. I put you in there, I was asking Muno. Or better, what you said, don't forget, we are the Unia, a Muto Papa, and you need your Papa, dear, yes, it's a way. And now, Paul, now, in this life, especially the young people, many of us, we think of our purpose in life. And we think we must fulfill our own purpose in life. However, the Bible reveals that our life meaning is not actually about us. It is not about us. Everything in our life, our identity and our purpose and everything, traces back to God. He created us. So it is His purpose that we must seek for, not our purpose. If you think of fulfilling your own purpose, you always end up in a disaster. Even if you achieve what you think you want, they won't satisfy you. That's what Paul is saying. Nothing in this world satisfies. Money, fame, nothing. What satisfies, what gives joy, is knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. And Paul, he never lost sight of this. He knew that he needed to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because for him to say this, it means he has revealed his life from what he was, what he has been to, what he has achieved. And then after he has known Christ, he compares the two. And he is advising us that the purpose of our life must be to seek God, seek our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to know Him more. And then to trust in Him alone. In Him alone, especially for righteousness, to be right before God. Paul is saying that there's nothing you can do to please God. Now, we hear most of salvation by works. Wherever you go, people are preaching salvation by works. As if it is through your works that you will be able to please God. Meanwhile, we are depraved. How can we please God in our depravity, in that state? That can never be true. Yesterday, when we were at the funeral, I was listening to the pastor, and basically what he was saying, that the reason why he was saying that the woman who was there to go to heaven is because he saved the church. You see, he never made mention of her repentance and whatever. He said because, and when he was even reading Revelation 14, instead of saying, blessed are the dead, those who die in Christ, he said, those who die in Christ's service. So you see, people are now preaching salvation by work. As if it is not bad to work for God. Obviously, when you are saved, your works will testify that you are truly saved. But if you are trusting in your work to go to God, that's where the problem is. And that's where Apostle Paul is trying to address here. And throughout his life, daily, all what he was doing was he was desiring to know Christ and to experience the power of the resurrection afresh in this life. That's what all Paul was doing. Why was he doing this? Because he was doing this because he didn't want to miss the next resurrection. You know, when you become a believer, when you die, that's what Christ came to do for us. There will be a time that you also resurrect, and it will give you a new body to be taken to heaven. So Paul didn't want to miss this. That's why he was emphasizing and spending all his life in trying to know about our Lord and Savior whilst we are waiting for his second coming. And for this things, Apostle Paul spent all his life and his energy and his everything to seek for. He was prepared to give all the privileges because he had a lot of privileges, as I'm going to explain to you later, when he was almost becoming like a rabbi in the Pharisees. Paul, he was a very young man. He was also well educated, and like I said, he was on his way to become a rabbi. When we say a rabbi, it's something, it's a title of respect that they give to the people, doctors and high class teachers and lawyers. If it was to be today, a rabbi would be like a senior lecturer at law. And that's what Paul was trying to do. And he was very zealous, especially when it comes to the Jewish tradition. He was very, very zealous in all that he did. We all know how he was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting them because they thought they were heretics. They thought they were teaching something different. And he was even, when Stephen died, he was there and he consented to it. This Saul, he was born in Tarsus. And Tarsus was an affluent and very diverse community. And in that city, they valued education. Anybody who knows about that city. And Saul, at the same time, was also a Roman citizen. You see, because he was born there. So he could claim to be a Roman citizen or a citizen of Tarsus. But Paul wanted to be known as a Hebrew. That's why he said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. If you are talking about Hebrews, Paul was a real Hebrew. In Acts chapter 22, from verse 3, he talked about all his heritage, all that he was able to achieve. He was also a tent maker. Paul participated in tent making to see him through before his conversion. And it is all stated in the book of Acts. Now, let's come, after knowing who Paul was and what Paul is saying now, let's come to our topic for today. How Paul is describing the superiority of Christ as compared to his own heritage. And we can see from verse 8, he said, yea, doubtless. See, when somebody says, yea, doubtless, now he's pointing to what he has said before. If you go from verses 4, 6, up to 7, we'll get there. But you see how Paul describes himself and how he felt proud to be an Israelite. He said he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he had been circumcised in the 8th day, according to the Mosaic law. You must be circumcised in the 8th day. All this Paul had done. And like I said, he was born in Tarsus, but he came to live in Rome, so he could claim to be a Roman as well. So he became a Hebrew of the Hebrews. They make sure what had said. Paul, yeah, ye can say me. Say, if she na braba na omumwa, and Amika said, Sabin na omumra na omadiye ejuman. Paul, this will pepe. Paul, you will be at our coast school ye. Baby, I know who free no. I hear tap of no. Now, Omu ye kubia, Omu ebu adisya. Say, I said, you will be a coast school. And the Paul's coast school, to swing idea. Ah, Nanka obey, be a friend and say, rabbi. No, I'm telling you, because you'll be a rabbi, I said, you'll be a teacher, and as a lecturer, and as a lawyer, and as a doctor, the baby, the man will be a, or yeah, a patitri. Even they gave that same title to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, so, yeah, this is how no man, say, or your rabbi. Sadly, and then I fall. Oh, yeah, and son, I used to pray. And if you're Paul, the oh, yeah, in a, the be a no mean, not a post me, even now, Cassie. Sadly, my name now, or too good to say, and my buffoon be, I did be a year. So, the two set of before years to one. I just said, a show there. There's nothing in this world. If you be in the same one, over to me, that's a two, say, only be who? Yes. And the Paul, or say, or no, you can't, a church here. You're all in our paper, and you can't. I'm having something normal law with sanity. You are, I said, now what you're paper. You travel a church here. Now, and you're going to say, oh, you know, what are you? or a Hebrew ni papa, or so Benjamin has said. If you would hear him a woman, not if you think you're a cafe, or more time, no, a home bra, and it's a idea, and it is a poor, not for your perfect person. And so no, need nature of a cancer, a woman. Not for no grand cap, not a Pharisee, it's not Paul, so no, or Baba Pharisee. The cancer will be a Pharisee, it's not the idea, no. You move after phone penny, fuck a second, then I use only a young money fund. That's not a Pharisee policy. No, I'm with your own business, say, and rather it will be a deep and ramble. Now, almost a dim ramble. I bet you it will be a dim ramble. And the Paul, Nabaka Camino, and Sana, oh, yes, you know, Sa Nana or Tier. Nana, the GDA. A more than ye, said a number of senior coupon, not a more than papa. Emma, Omoka, no more ever can use a seminal. No, we sell on the customer and your credit. If you are coming, or come on and not, or more, and that's our own. You buy it to grab credit, no, not on them crowns who are white letter or give crack for TCP to phone, and I use you to trade. It will have, he said, Paul, you will be an anchor, the new, or quite a new year, ever on running. And so no. Of a car that we in. So Paul was successful in keeping the law as followed by the traditions of the people of Pharisee. And he kept his religion very, very, very well. However, he got to know that that religion was wrong. And that is why Paul, in verse 7, he said that though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning thee, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, as a Phoebean in him, a cast of more emerald in the Phoebean in him, and so Paul, as I did now, can say, that he may not have me here. Now, so they're not Paul and Catherine. And you say, be an old or be a true home. Okay. And you create Senna Paul, why yes, sir. And now, Sadie and Sonna or Oyanzo, a dear, why ya, not just a dear. They hear you. So what you get Jim running in our school? Now, yep, obey rabbi. And so no, Paul, that is now Catherine, a money and Paso. The king of Okasani said, "When you say man, you ain't me nyongwa." Why he was talking about these things? Not that what he was saying wasn't true. It was true. Paul was able to achieve all of them, but he thought that these things can never give you salvation, which is the most important thing. That is why I said that this message that we are proclaiming is the most important message on earth. The message of the gospel, God's redeeming grace. There's nothing like that can be compared to it. And that is what Paul was trying to explain here. And throughout all his preaching, if you listen to Paul, Paul's emphasis was on salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. That was all what Paul was preaching about. Paul, after Kenyan seminar, someone who can, he said, and quite here, every Adumu, any Gideon, ever Yesu Kuem. And yet there will be, and your brow the boss, or brow the body are, and it could be a big for him. And me as a moa, not Paul, and we can see as I can say, Sanya Manina, and who need Paso, or Fanny say, at the Gengen. Now, if you ask him to Yesu, yes, sir, so will be to me, assuming the young boy, if you are sorry. Be a scanny be ya or ye be near ya or ye be fine, yanka said ye. A yen didn't deny it. But the moment you take it and let it go ahead, you know, then it becomes something wrong. They are good in themselves, but they become wrong when you think that through him you can go to heaven. And that is exactly what Paul is trying to say here. Paul was genuinely converted in terms of where he has been now. That's why he said in the same number, what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Now, you see, it's not that Paul has been converted from one religion to the other, say from Muslim to a Christian. No. He has converted from trusting in his works to trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul, I have been converted from trusting in his own flesh to trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he said that if you are trusting in your flesh then Christ will be of no use to you. In Galatians chapter 5, he said, let's just send it to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace. So Paul is saying that if you are trusting in yourself, that you are following the law, that you are falling from grace. And just say, I don't know, and yet you might emma. And that nobody so obedient you are here or waiting me so I didn't papa yet I call on your phone. It is the papa in our ground. Oh, yeah, no one in. Because you are living in sin. Your whole body is corrupt. So how can you please God? So Paul here is saying that if you are trusting in yourself, you are trusting by following the law, then Christ, his death on the cross of Calvary, will be nothing to you. Then it means you are your own righteousness, not that of Christ. So let's see what he said again in verse. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. That is the excellent thing to do, knowing Christ. Then he goes on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as count them but done. You see? He's not saying that all the things that he was doing in the flesh was not good, but he's saying that those things are nothing because they can never satisfy you, they can never take you to anywhere. So now in all this, if you look at Paul, he's comparing the things that he did to the knowledge of Christ. That is why I'm saying that this morning our emphasis is on knowing Christ. So that you know your purpose and that will drive your life. What drives your life? Is it your own purpose or the purpose of God? Which is knowing Christ. All what God wants us to do is to know Christ and to know him as he is. And once you know him, that's why he said in Matthew 6, verse 33, that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. All the things that you need on earth, it will be added unto you. But if you think of seeking for your own self first before you come to Christ, it will never work. Once you are saved, once you have sought the salvation and righteousness, all other things should fall in their places. That is what Paul is saying. That is what the Bible is teaching us, that our priority must be seeking to know Christ, being saved from our slavery to sin, our slavery to Satan, our slavery to ourselves and to the world. What is the purpose of Christ coming on the cross of Calvary? So he views all these things in comparison to knowing Christ as a dunk or as rubbish, as nothing at all. So when Paul is talking about knowing Christ, obviously he's not talking about just knowledge. Otherwise, even Satan knows him. He is talking about a personal relationship with him. You have a personal relationship with God. Is he your Lord? Is he the one that you trust in every circumstance in your life? And do you see that he sees you wherever you are, whatever you say, whatever you are doing? That is what he is talking about. Knowing him intimately, not just knowing him in the mind. Otherwise, he will be no use to you. So he is talking about, like I said earlier, a change from one person, trusting in one person to another. He was trusting in his work, now he is trusting only in Christ. And like I said, he also entered into a saving relationship with a wonderful person in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. Last time I had the opportunity, I told you why it is only through him that we can go to heaven. So Paul here is also saying that knowing him is the most important thing to do, and having a relationship with him. If you have a relationship with him, there will be signs, there will be benefits from it. He will strengthen you and support you in all your trials, if you are with Christ. In all your trials, and in this world there will be trials, because he has said it, that we live in a world of uncertainties, a world of evil. So there will be trials, there will be temptation. But if you are with Christ, he will be with you and he will support you in all your trials. Now you can also depend on him, because he shares all what he has with his people. That's why he came to you. No amount of your religious works will do anything to you. This is why Apostle Paul, again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, he was stressing again when he was praying for his readers. He said that they might know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power towards those who believe. You see, Apostle Paul earlier on was talking about knowing the power of the resurrection of Christ. Christian, do you know that the power that rules us, the power that we live with, is the power that brought Christ from death to life? And that's what Paul is saying here. That he will know that power, the power that brought Christ from death to life. And that power is the one that is working in any believer. So he said, so that we know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he aroused in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. See, and he goes on to say that, and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you see, having the power of the resurrection to dominate our lives has so many benefits that I'm going to show you a few here. It means that there's no sinful habit or addictive practice in your life that can overcome you. If the power that brought Christ from death to life is the power that is predominantly in your life, there's no sinful behavior or addictive practice that it cannot overcome in you. So here, as Pastor was saying the last time, Christ's atonement was complete and it was successful. So if it was, then if that same atonement is what is working in you, and if that same power is working in you, there's no sin that you were committing before that it cannot help you to overcome it. Now, it means that there's no necessary change in our life that cannot be brought about by us. Look at Paul. Now Paul has changed to preaching about justification by grace alone. So if you are converted, there's nothing, no change that you want to bring in your life that it cannot happen because of the power that rests in you. And then no command of obedience he will give us that he does not empower us to perform. There's no command that Christ or God will give you that he won't give you the power to be able to perform it. Because it is only when you perform his command that he will also be pleased with you. The American said, "Ubehunye Yesu, na so odu body che o na o ma o awofofra dia che ni se Paul e kan bi se se dia obehu tumi a e ma ni sori free owo mu tumi a yakopon e di yi ni free owo mu no dia tumi no e na abedi wo obia odu mu ama no ye do body che o dia tumi na abedi wo dia tumi ni bedi wo dia na e che se but ni bi ni ho no ma na wo mu ana wo ya and then no one can die for any. That's how I'm going to be a wall and I'm going to be a bonnie. And I'm number two. And maybe in a while, I was on the tower of Brabu Mua. That's 2 minutes in the wall and I want to come. See, maybe I will be able to come. 2 minutes now. In the end, yes, that's 2 minutes and a tube. And the big man was a son of Brabia. And I also said, Yakupon, I'm not saying yes. But share a funny again, Pastor. On my commandment, not the law. For the law, we know nobody can follow it. But an area of a commando say, you know, or no one else will ever go out. I'm not watching the eye. Namasum, and ya are the Ketua. Even what Bakoria Baba, every day, we have a sorry father, and I owe ya. A yes, Tibia, a way. Now, I get to that power way, and the victim of wow, I might serving God, no, will not become any light. I guess, Obeying Debia, he said, Yea, Nipa, once ya, Yea, Nipa, I didn't know you. You must obey about our corona. Tap our now or demand yes to Edinian and Tap our new room, and they make me up well, I'm my own doctor on your home. Now, what did I say? I didn't want to be great in a poor. All can't say, if you are seeing him away now, what giant, now who said, to know Christ is the ultimate. Why is Paul saying that? That to know Christ is the ultimate and nothing can be compared to it. Spurgeon has a book and the title is The Glorious Achievement, Christ's Glorious Achievement. And he has said a lot of things that Christ achieved. I have a few here that I want to share with you. Now, he said that Christ is the end to the law or end of the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. That is why Paul is saying here again that he can't trust in his flesh. He can only trust in what Christ has done. Christ has obeyed the law for us. So when you trust in him, when you commit your life to him, he gives that obedience to you. That is why he was on the cross of Calvary and take your sinful nature to Calvary. So here, Romans 10 verse 4 saying that Christ is the end of the law. Friends, do you know why many people are not saved? Not that they don't want to be saved. According to Paul, Paul said they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal to serve God, but not according to people want salvation. But not in the way that God has prescribed. Not God's way of salvation. That's why many people are not saved. It's not that they don't want to be saved. Some people want to be saved, but they don't want to be saved according to God's direction. That's what when Christ said is the end of the law, then it means he has achieved that. He has obeyed the whole law. And therefore, it will be a great blessing to know him. That's what Paul is saying, that to know him. It's a blessing to know him in that character. In the character that he is the end of the law. Friends, the law is the most dreadful thing for sinners. The law is not there for us to obey. God knows we can never obey it. It is there for us to know our sinful nature, our weakness, who we are. So if Christ has died to end the law, then it's very, very important to know Christ in that character. That he is the one who has ended the law. Now, make him say, Paul, I dare power for Tintina, who knew Yusu Mutia, or Obeya Bia, or the Hushe Yusu. And I make us a book be an American, special book be our trade. Now, that book will know what checks say Yusu, if we are still buying, and near man obey. Now, the Dikaya, the President, the Nemo actually said, or Nuna, obey thee and ran so. It is a wooden idea. I just said, I'm not supposed to see it. and sang it in your school in your phone. And it will be a 50 minutes. It's one of the things I've been doing now. It's the only idea. I think what the umbrella will be so no amount. And what you want to put in a dear alcohol carry. And you could appear with your phone anymore. And who would say, yes. It will be a what DM and Branson. And that's one thing that Christ has done for us. And that's what we must know him for that character. That he died to end the law. The second achievement of Christ, even though I'm going to quote Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And here is the first gospel that was ever preached by God himself. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So here, Christ is the conqueror of Satan. Paul wants to know Christ in this character, that he is the conqueror of Satan. And like I said, this is the first gospel that was preached by God himself. And we know that Satan is our arch enemy, and therefore, this is worthy of attention, to know that it is only Christ who has conquered Satan. Earlier on, we were reading when Paul was talking about in Galatians there, when he said that principalities were all under him. When we say principalities, we are talking about evil spirits, demons, and witchcraft, and all those things. Christ has ended all of them. If people really know Christ in this way, there will be no need for anybody to go anywhere for deliverance. The deliverance is here. He has conquered Satan for us. So when you come under him, you have also conquered Satan. So you have been delivered from the power of sin, of death, of Satan, and of yourself. That is the point here. So he is the conqueror of Satan, and it's very important to know him as such. Or know any wedding of a Samson in Quinim. And say, who he has over who he is? Say, or you will be a wedding of a Samson in Quinim. He said, of a Sam, any yen, yes, Samson can see it. I don't know. When I call that, there's a hymn that he never stops. He's always on course trying to drag us to destruction. The next thing that we know is also he is the overcomer of the world. John 15, verse 33, Christ said, in this world you have tribulation. In this world there will be suffering. But don't worry, I have overcome the world. So he is the overcomer of the world. Although the word be a reality, soon for him, a reality, and you have a tree called Yambonium, especially the young people. This world is a dangerous world. There are so many allurements, so many deceptions, so many lies going on. So you need to know Christ, that he is the conqueror of this world. So it's only when you are in him that this world's allurements and the deceptions and the temptations will have no effect on you. I just say, we should just move on. And some say, we are seeing 2 million, oh, I don't die in the panel. 8 million, oh. So now, he's the conqueror of the world. John 16, verse 33. He said, persecutions will come, but believers should remain faithful, knowing this, that this is all part of God's will and his will. It is the will of God that we face temptation. It is the will of God that we face suffering, because they all drive us to him. So now, Christ is the only one who has conquered the world. And it is very important that we know him in that character, because the world is our enemy number one. Then he is also the maker of all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Christ is the one who has made all things new. So instead of looking at each person as a mere human being, we must view those who are in Christ as something entirely different. When you are in Christ, you are different. You are entirely different from your original creation, because Christ has made all things new. So all people who have come to give their life to Christ, or who know Christ, sincerely from their heart, they are new people. They are different from their old selves. Now, another achievement of Christ and why we should know him. He is a spoiler of principalities. He said he spoiled the works of principalities. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, he disarmed them. Like he put them off completely. And we are talking about powers, the demonic control, and all those ones. Christ discarded all of them when he died on the cross of Calvary. I gave a point, yes, as I said, I have been in a for, or in the beer for, and it's all over, yes, yes. Now we are the Papufro. We are not just ordinary human beings. You are a new creature. He has given you a new birth. You are different from all other people. And now, on Usuna, or say, a real much for a human, principality, demons, yeah, you know, or say, only a human. It is a Oshay, yes, more. These demons, no, they can never come near you. That is why I always say, when you are saved, it is the most secure place under Christ. You don't need anybody to pray for you. You don't need anybody to do anything for you. You are safe in Christ. Because he has done all these things for us. And then, another thing, he is the destroyer of death. He said he destroyed death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. You see, he said the last enemy he will defeat is death. But really, his death on the cross of Calvary has already defeated the power of death. That is why I was saying that Revelation 14, verse 13 says, blessed are those who die in Christ. If you die, if you are saved and you die in Christ. Therefore, the second death has no control over you. So Christ is the destroyer of death. And can we trust him for it? Yes, because he died and came back from death to life. So if he says he can give you that, it is true. He has demonstrated it to us. There is a church one that says, only sooner in you know. Just so we push it more. Who show a cast a the moon, who we are the one I walk. And if you have to say a team, you know, happy be any whatever you. A bear wears and wears and wears and wears until he comes. So even if he calls you, it's better. If he calls you, you are going to him. So he has power over death, and it's very, very important to know him in that sense. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Now, Paul also spoke of another thing. He said the fellowship of his suffering. He wants to be to have fellowship with Christ in his suffering. Why would he do that? He wants to suffer with him so that he can also enjoy with him. Christ, let's see what Christ said in John 15. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So you see, the world will hate us. But thank God, praise God. If you are suffering with Christ, it means you also go into glory with him. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying here. He knows that if he shares in the suffering of Christ, he will also share in the glory later. Not the word fellowship. He wants to suffer with Christ. He doesn't want to enjoy with the people of this world. And Moses is a typical example. He didn't want to enjoy with the people being like a prince in the palace of Pharaoh. He wanted to suffer with his people because he knew that suffering would lead to something better. So if you are suffering for Christ, you know that you will also enjoy when it comes to his side. In John 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that was Paul's confident expectation. He knows that if he suffered with Christ, he will also enjoy with him. So in summary, what Paul is saying here is that in rejecting all what he has achieved and in knowing Christ, first get assurance of justification. What is justification? Justification is where God says, even though you are guilty because of Christ, all your sins are forgiven you. And it comes the moment you believe and you confess, you repent and you confess your sins to Him, that same time you are justified. So now, Paul is saying that when he knows Christ, he knows that he has assurance of justification. And then he has also the progress of sanctification. Note, sanctification is a progress, it's a process. You go through all this life. Justification is an event. It happens once. Once you confess your sins, you are justified. You are no more a sinner. But to grow in that, you must be sanctified. And then the promise of glorification. So, well, all what I've said about Paul and his decision to know Christ as compared to all that he knew before, the purpose is this: to have an assurance of justification, and then the progress of sanctification, and then the promise of glorification. So you'll be justified in this world, your sins will be forgiven you, the Holy Spirit will see you through. Because we live in a world, in the evening we'll learn about how Satan has set traps for believers in this world. Throughout all these traps, the Holy Spirit will lead you. And then the ultimate is to be with Christ in heaven when his time comes. So friends, let me end with a quote here. It says, life without a godly driver is like a moving car without a driver. And that's what Paul has explained in all these things. If your purpose is not to know Christ, then your life is a disaster. In everything, you are not saying don't seek to do anything. In anything, put Christ first. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, all things are possible. Have you known Him in this character? Have you known Him in this manner? Have you known Him? If not, this is the time. Pray that you know Christ and know Him well.